is Cane Flower Jam. Stand by. Kathy, what book do you recommend for Wendy to read first?
Sister of the Broken Vows, Book 1 and 2.
Thanks, Miss Kathy. I've got that down on my note, and that's the first. I'll start with Book 1 on that one. Thanks for the tip. I'm anxious. It's fun to read. And a book by somebody you know. I mean, we haven't really met, so we don't really know each other, but it's still fun to that we have the possibility of meeting, and I have the opportunity to talk to you about the things in the book, you know, so I enjoy discussing books. So thanks for those tips, and that's the one I'll go with.
This is Dan4RJ, and she says you should enjoy those, and she does have a website, and you can always reach her at my phone number. and talk to her off air to discuss the books and that sort of thing. So that's her recommendation, such as it is. And that's about all I've got. So this is Can4RJN, and I will clear.
This is KN4HTT, net control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Thanks for hanging around for some rag chew, Mr. John, KN4RJN. I have missed it through the month of March, as I took the month off from the radio. But it's nice to get back to normal, and I like making this connection again. So, and I hope, Miss Kathy, I hope you have a good evening also. All right, have I missed anyone for comments or for check-ins? We're checking in all the way through the alphabet, but if anyone has a comment, that's great too. Please call Net Control. It looks like my husband, Mark, W2MJV, will be calling the net tomorrow night, and I'm sure he would appreciate you checking in. That's Tuesday at 9. The net report will be submitted electronically, and I will break for a minute for the automatic report to transmit tonight's results. So hold on just a moment. KN4HTP, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for checking in. A reminder to those still tuned in that we are checking the process of listening in reverse with KO4NUE. So remember to stick around for that, and I will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s, and good night, everybody.
Stations, all stations. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, conducting a 45-second test tonight. All stations listening to this frequency, this is now the time to train and learn about your reverse function on your radio. My call sign is on QRZ. If you can hear this transmission in reverse, please shoot me an email or shoot me a text with the information on QRZ. Stand by for the transmission. Is Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. I am transmitting on a Yaesu 2980R at 20 watts with a home-built Slim Jim antenna. My call sign is Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. I am transmitting on a Yaesu 2980R at 80 watts on a home-built Slim Jim antenna. This is Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo, clear. 4JBQ, KO4NUE. KK4JBQ, KO4NUE.
NUE, KI4DOS.
Hey, Gary, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good there, bud. You sounded good on the input.
I'll put you in the log. I appreciate that. How's things going your way?
Going a whole lot better than they were. I went back to the doctor this morning. He wants me to come back one more time Wednesday morning, so see if he can get the rest of it out, but he got some more of it out today, and I'm in pretty good shape now.
Are you able to move around without being in a lot of pain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got that out of me. Friday, pretty much, but he wanted me, I was still real sore Friday, and he wanted me to come home and sit on the ice all weekend, which I did, and then, of course, I've been on it a couple of times today. Should have been more than that after he gave me an adjustment this morning. But I can get around real well. Don't have no problems as far as that goes.
When he did the last adjustment, was there any, audible release? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, did he crack some bones on the second time?
Sounded like a bowl of Rice Krispies.
You got all out of whack, didn't you?
Yeah, he said I was all out of whack Friday, but he worked on me and got it pretty well straightened out. But when I went this morning, it cracked a little bit more, not like it did last Friday. But he told me Friday, he says, "What have you been doing?" And I says, "You don't know."
I hear you, man. I hear you. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, I'm gonna be in your area tomorrow, and I wondered if it'd be all right if I swung by and visited with you for just a little bit.
So I know we don't have anything planned.
Well, I'll do that. I'm gonna swing by and see if I can help Chandler out a little bit, and then swing by, probably visit with you. I need to go visit with Chris for a little bit, and then I'll swing by. But I'll give you an hour or two heads up. I'd say it'd be after lunch, so that'd be okay.
Don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I met with Chandler today. He got that power supply. He seemed to be happy with it. I'm sure it'll take care of all his needs.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But I'll swing by there in the morning, make sure he's got everything right, and then a couple things I need to talk with you about. But I'll swing by there tomorrow and talk to you about them.
Good. Just give me a holler and just make sure I'm here. I might have to run to the store or something. I doubt it, but. We don't really need anything that I know of. But just give me a holler whenever you get ready, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Well, I'm just going to let you know we did our first Simplex net tonight. And we were successful. It was pretty stressful. But we were able to... move around the mountain through Chris to Patrick. So I'm going to say I have to take that as a success, but it was a little rough getting started.
I missed out on that. I was involved in the Brawlers Club virtual meeting. I told them about a capstan winch, and they decided that they needed that for the club, so which was a good thing. Make more than one person happy on that deal. The guy that's selling it's going to be happy, and then the people that buy it's going to be happy too. So there you go. But I'm sorry that I missed the Simplex net. I'm glad it made it all the way around the mountain, though. If it can get from up there at Tryon, around the mountain over to Brevard area, that's pretty doggone good. Without going through the mountain, you couldn't go through it, and you couldn't quite make it over the top of it, so you had to go around. But that's the name of the game. I'm glad it all worked out.
I took It took two relays, but Mr. Chris handled the last leg of the relay, but he did good. We moved it from Campobello to Inman, then from Inman to Liberty, and then from Liberty to around the mountain.
Be fantastic. I'm glad that works out. And now that, you know, that gives the rest of the folks some real encouragement to know that should something happen, it may take them a few minutes, but they can get help.
I'm just going to tell you that there was, I don't know how to word it, a fair amount of stress on this end. We got off a little rocky. But, you know, after it took a little while, but we, you know, got things, once we got on track, one of the other stations in the club, he got us straight, and once we got all that ironed out, it went really well, so I'm kind of pleased with it, I guess. But I never would have thought that we'd been able to do that. But it we sure did.
I don't know why in the world you didn't think you could do it. I mean, you've taken messages from Nakusa, Wisconsin, or someplace like that, and delivered somewhere around close to home. So you know it works.
Oh, I know. It's just, I don't know, it was just different. Just had a, I don't know, just totally different feel, I guess. But all the stations that participated, man, I'm going to tell you, they did a really good job. And like I said, it was a little rocky at first, but after things settled down for a little bit, it was kind of neat. We sent Patrick a message, and I told him I had three flat tires. And he sent a reply back that says, "How can I help?" So I knew then that he'd got my message.
Can't send that to me, because you know what I'd have sent.
No, I don't need no Chevrolet's help. I'd take care of it. I'll drive a truck on the rims if I have to.
Better than that. If you needed help, you know all you'd have to do is let me know. But that was pretty good. Patrick sending back to you what kind of help you needed and that sort of thing. But that did let you know that it got all the way around and didn't get confused, which is always a good thing when things don't get confused. Even though it was a little rocky start, it all worked out in the end, which is what we aim for, you know, try to keep each other informed and as best we can. But that being said, I'm glad it all worked out. I'm sorry I wasn't a part of it, but that was the reason I was not there tonight. Just wanted to let you know.
I know. That's a tough call, too, because I'm a member, and it's just I can't attend because of, our club meetings are at Nets or at the same time. But at any rate, I just gonna let you know that, and not much going on here, I guess. Something happened today, I forget what it was, but it must not have been too eventful, because, so one of our club members needed some manure for the garden, so Dad and I took the bobcat out to the barn and helped him clean the stalls out with the bobcat. And the lower end down there, it was 4 feet 3 inches thick on the lower end. And I stopped counting at 120 buckets worth. So we got a big pile out there and got the barn straightened out. Dad found some feed bowls he's been looking for a couple of months. But I don't know. I'd say probably 2 tons or more of it.
Well, if you got any extra after you've helped that other fella out, I'll come up there and get a truckload and get it out of your way. My neighbors might want to get rid of me once I get it out here and get it all spread out. But once I get it tailed in, they'll never know the difference.
So what? I'll put some on the dump trailer, and I'll just bring it to you if you want some. You just let me know. I got all you'd ever need.
If you want to get rid of some, you know, like I said, I'll be happy to come up there and get it. That's not a problem. But I would like some. I don't have my garden turned over yet. I was going to do it this past weekend, and of course my back went stupid on me last Wednesday, and I wasn't able to get out there and do it. And it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow, the last time I looked, and so now it'll have to wait. I can go ahead and get the compost and get it out here and get it ready to put on the garden, but I don't have to put it on there just yet. But I can get it out there, and then when it dries up a little bit, I can go ahead and till the ground and throw the manure on there, and boy, them plants will love it.
We probably use 3 or 4 buckets every year on the garden out here. And I'm going to tell you, it does a really good job. I don't know what it is about the goat manure, but it's pretty good stuff. We used rabbit and chicken 1 year. I think the chicken manure killed everything we had. We put too much on. But the goat manure seems to do really good.
POS, in case anybody cares. I used chicken manure several different times when we had chickens here. I'd clean the chicken coop out, take it out there and throw it out. But chicken manure, you spread real thin because it's got so much, it's nitrogen in it or something. I don't know what it is. It burns the plants up. And it's a little bit too hot. But I've used cow manure and horse manure and just all kinds of different stuff. They probably used some goat's stuff at one time. I had a man that lived behind my father-in-law. He had a guy come over and pump his septic tank out. And then he turned around and had that guy pump that out of his truck onto his garden. I don't know that I want to use that, but I have seen that used too.
I think you need to wait at least a year before you do that. But I have seen it spread out on pastures before, but never in a garden. We ran into an issue 2 years ago. It's been longer than that, I'd say. I don't know. A couple of years ago, whatever that means. Dad decided he was going to try some horse manure 1 year just to see how it worked instead of using the goat manure. And we planted, 15 or 20 tomato plants, and they got up to over waist high and started dying. And he read in, he gets a little farm bulletin here, and they had an advisory out in the bulletin about horse manure. The advisory read that, be selective about horse manure because the way the article read was if people spray around the fence with Roundup, the horse will ingest that, and then when you collect the manure and put it out on the garden, it gets into the soil and damages tomato plants. They had some pictures in there to show, you know, this is kind of what you need to look for. And it looked just like what some of the pictures were in the garden. So we didn't do that anymore. And it's, I just thought that was pretty interesting.
I hadn't seen an article on that before. But like I said, I've used it before and not had a problem with it. So I guess those horses didn't get around any places where they had sprayed the grass, you know, on the fence line or whatnot. I went had a friend that had a cattle, a dairy farm down below Ware Place. Went down there and got some fresh stuff one year. I mean, this was soupy. That's how fresh it was. I came home and put that on the garden, and boy, I tell you what, it went stupid that year. It went crazy. I guess because of all the moisture in it, it just seeped into the ground, and all the plants just loved it. Seemed like didn't have any problems with anything. I did have some problems with the neighbors though when I first dumped it out, because you know it was not dried. It was still soupy. It was nasty, smelly stuff. But the neighbors complained for two or three days, and once I got it all tilled in, they didn't say anything else about it. But when the garden shot up, they all came over and wanted vegetables, and I said, of course I shared with them. I said, I'm sorry you had to put up with the smell, but this is a result of it. And they enjoyed the fruits of my labors, which was good, and it helped them out to get over the mad spell they had towards me because of the smell.
I got a neighbor up the road here that she's got some horses, and the horse died. So the neighbor to her came down to the house and said, "Hey, you gonna have to bring Bobcat up here and get this horse buried." And Dad's Bobcat's got wheels on it. Mine's got tracks, and it's up at the deer camp, or was up at the deer camp at the time. And you know, those wheel Bobcats, when it's wet, you just can't do much with them, especially with so red mud. But I went out there and said, "Hey, look, you know, it's not going to be much I can do because it's so wet. We're not going to be able to get traction, and we may have to just, you know, leave it here till it dries up." The neighbor to her was like, "No, no, no, that's not going to work. You're going to have to do something." And there's nothing I can do with it. They had to get a track hoe in there and dig a hole because it was just wet. I couldn't do anything. But talking about offensive odors, I get what you mean.
Maybe when I put that wet manure out there on the garden, you know, both my boys are a whole lot taller than Joy and I both. And the neighbors said that it was because we had that manure on the garden, and the boys ran through it barefooted.
Goodness. I bet Joy pitched a fit. She wouldn't let them in the house, would she?
No, she kept the hose pipe out there. She should make them rinse them off before they come in the house. But no, she didn't fuss at them too much. Of course, they didn't bring much in either. They were pretty good about that. We used to call Joy Molly Mop Up because she kept the house so clean and everything in place and all this. You know, we'd come in and if we did not put our dirty clothes, you know, like a pair of socks, you know, you take a pair of shoes off, take your socks off, just drop them in the floor. Well, if you didn't pick them up, put them in the clothes hamper where she could wash them. You got fussed at, and the kids didn't got more than fussed at. So me and the boys started calling her Molly Mop Up.
My goodness. Well, we've had three kids cycle through here, and I noticed the other day that the we've got hardwood floors throughout the house, and I noticed that all of the, I guess, polyurethane or whatever on the floor is just gone. I mean, it's in bad shape. And I guess, you know, 20 years of kids and red mud and gravel and dirt, and I have to be real careful when I come in up from the machine shop. I've noticed in front of the door here, coming from the shop, that the floor's in real bad shape when you come in the door, because I pick up those metal chips on my boots or my shoes and don't think nothing about it. And when I come in the door, those, you know, metal chips just pretty rough, so I'm gonna have to change up my shoes, I guess, before I come in the house.
If Anna hadn't got you another pair of Crocs that you wear in the house, and that's the only place you wear them.
My Crocs are like my glasses. I buy a bunch of them and just, you know, leave them laying around. So I'm down to, just want to let you know, I'm down to my last pair of glasses. I have laid all of my glasses down except for this one pair, and I laid them down today and couldn't find them, so I went out to the truck and got the last pair in the console of the truck and got all the way in here in the ham shack and put them on. And I mean, just as soon as I put them on, I got cross-eyed and took them off and realized the right lens was gone out of the right eye, and couldn't use them. So I spent 20 minutes looking for this last pair of glasses I got in here. So I'll have to go buy me 10 or 15 more, I guess, and keep them laying there. I don't know how many I got up there at Chris's. I leave them laying everywhere.
Something been here at the house. When you come by tomorrow, I'll give it to you. It's a string you hook on to your glasses and put that around your neck. That may be that way. If you keep them on a string, and you won't be able to lay them down anywhere, and you at least have one pair around your neck for a while.
Right. Well, I hadn't tried the string yet, but it's getting to where with my eyes, it's almost like I need two pair now. I can normally see things off in a, you know, a couple of feet away. I've got pretty good vision. But now I've started to notice that up close is horrible. I mean, I'm about 14 inches away from the radio now, and I know it's on Caesar's head, but I can't read the letters. It's a blurry. But I noticed the other day I was doing a little bit of soldering, and it's like I need two different lens types or something. Gary, I guess this everything I got's falling apart. Ain't much I can do about it, I guess.
Well, Joey said to tell you it's called being over 40. I didn't wear glasses at all till I was 46 or so. Moved to Nashville, and Joy wanted me to go. We had our ophthalmologist down here, and she got a new one up there in Nashville. And so she said, I want you to go let him examine you and give you a good eye exam. And I said, okay. So I went over there, and Chad, I went from no glasses to bifocals. And you talk about a shock now. That was a big shock for me. But I can see better now, and our doctors have taken care of me so far, and I can't complain about them. The only thing I complain about is I went over 40, and then all of a sudden my eyesight started going downhill.
You're right, and I just me and her both have noticed that our eyesight is starting to change, and a lot of moaning and groaning when you get up out of a chair. And at the end of the day, when you make it to the bed to lay down, it I got to be honest with you, it hurts, you know, 10 or 15 seconds just to get straightened out. But it's kind of nice once you do. But I can definitely tell that I'm starting to show some wear and tear, I guess. But like I said, it ain't going to do no good to complain about it.
For a long, long time, you got to be tough to get old.
Well, Daddy used to tell me something similar to that growing up. He used to tell me, boy, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. And he said, boy, you tough as wet leather, ain't you?
Yeah, I kind of been told that myself from my dad. He had about the same philosophy. I think that was their way of saying, don't be so stupid very nicely.
Right. My mother used to say growing up, too, I can remember her saying that navy blue used to attract everything but men and money. And I asked her one time why I wanted something for Christmas, and she told me we couldn't afford it. And I asked her why we were so poor and when were we going to get some money. And she would always reply with, when your rich uncle gets out of the poorhouse, we'll have some money. And I don't know how many years I thought that I actually had a rich uncle in the poorhouse. But once I got older, I realized that I'm not sure why Mama told me that. I guess she didn't want to explain why we didn't have money growing up, but that was her way of explaining it, I guess.
I think she was trying to tell you that there's other riches. There's riches other than money. That's the way I took it. Mom and Dad, we didn't have a lot when I grew up either, but Mom and Dad always told me, she said, especially Mother, she'd say, you know, we may not have any money, but we got lots of riches, you know. We got other things that a lot of folks don't have. You know, we got a house over, a house to sleep in with a roof over our head where we can stay dry and stay warm in the winter. Got enough to keep the house warm in the wintertime, and we can open the windows in the summertime. With the breeze blowing through, we can stay relatively cool. Or, you know, we didn't have air conditioning when I grew up, when I was little. But I'm not complaining. I don't know that I would want to go back to those days, but, you know, it wasn't bad. You get acclimated to the weather, and, yeah, it would be hot at night. But you had a window fan, maybe, or a attic fan, and you get a little breeze coming in that window, and you go across the bed, and after you lay there and sweat, and all of a sudden you get that little breeze come through there, it gets kind of chilly. So I'm not saying that either one of them was wrong, but that was my take on it, Chad, that, you know, riches come in other forms than money.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. And if that's the case, which I know it is, I guess I'm one of the richest men in the world. So I'll take it. I'll take it because I got a good family, good kids, and it's been, you know, there were times when it was tough, but you know, my oldest is married now, and I talked with him the other day on the phone, and he seems to be really happy, and that makes me, you know, it makes me happy. And you know, it's like you said, I'm a pretty rich man, I guess.
Except when your kids are happy and they're, you know, they get grown and they go out and make a life of their own, and they're happy, and it makes you feel real good. You can't buy that with money. nothing wrong with money, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that you can get by without it if you have to. It just makes things a little bit easier sometimes. But I agree with you that, you know, I didn't have but two. stayed in the house and all of that, other than the animals that we've had. Of course, sometimes I thought my two boys were animals. Oh, goodness. I'll tell you about Anthony and his snakes one of these days when we get together. Maybe I'll tell you tomorrow if I think about it. And him wanting to keep snakes in the house. And you know, there's some people that don't like spiders. I can handle a spider a whole lot easier than I can handle a snake. You know, I take them both with a grain of salt, and I respect them both, and I give them both a lot of leeway as far as I can. But it's amazing, you know. You sit back and you think about it when your kids were small, and now that they're grown, you say, well, you know, where did the time go? It didn't seem like yesterday that they wasn't, but, you know, a year or two old, toddling across the floor, and, you know, you having to pick them up and take care of them and kiss their boo-boos and that sort of thing. Next thing you know, they're grown, got to gone out on their own, and before long, they'll start their own families.
I can't wait to have a first grandchild. I'm so excited. And I keep reminding him, you know, hey, you're married now. We're grandkids. And they just, you know, they just laugh. But I noticed yesterday, it's must be getting springtime because the birds, our front porch is 112 feet long. And up in the rafters, the birds nest up there every year. And they've been out there for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. It's funny to watch them because they get out there and jockey and fight for certain rafters. Evidently, there's prime spaces between the rafters. I mean, they all look the same to me. But those mama birds, boy, they got their spots, and they'll get out there and they'll fight over it and just make the biggest ruckus and racket you ever seen. And then it'll get so bad here in the next couple of weeks, they'll start fighting so bad they'll run into the glass on the door. But it's funny to sit out there and watch them fuss at one another and run each other off, and then. It's just funny, and things. It's funny how things change in the springtime, I guess.
AOS. Well, you know the mama birds. They sometimes they'll go back and build a nest in the same spot. I did not know it, but some of the birds will fight. You know, the squirrels will fight over a bird's nest. You know, the birds will start it, and then the squirrels will build onto it. And then the squirrels will tear part of it down, and the birds will come back and redo it. I tell you what, them little critters are pretty smart to be able to build that sort of thing with no hands and no arms, and got to hold on with their feet. So the only thing they use is their mouth. And my eyesight, if I had to put a stick down the way they do, at the end of my nose, I wouldn't be able to see what I was doing. So. I think they're pretty ingenious creatures.
Tomorrow, since you brought that up, tomorrow's going to be a bad day for all of the dogs here on the farm. We've got we had an outbreak of rabies, I don't know, about 10, 12 years ago. And we had to all get shots, and, you know, it's a big rigmarole. But ever since then, we got two Great Pyrenees dogs down in the pasture that they just will not tolerate you taking them out of the pasture. They'll go anywhere you want to go, and they're the lovingest things in the pasture. But when you open that gate and try to get them out of that gate, they will bite you. It don't matter who you are, me or Dad, either one. We quit fighting them because they're so big. And we got a veterinarian up here in town, Dr. Jenny. So we just hire her out to come out here and give all the dogs vaccinations. and we don't have to transport them, you know. So tomorrow's going to be a sad day. And KC knows. As soon as he sees that white van drive up, oh, my goodness. You ought to see him.
Well, you and I don't like to get shot, so I guess the dogs don't either, cats and other animals. I can still remember the time when I went into the military, and if you get in a line of all these people and everybody's getting shots, and you don't get just one, you may get four or five or eight or ten at the time. I'm glad them days is over with, no doubt. But, you know, they still want to stick you, you know. Oh, you need to get your flu vaccination. You got to get the COVID vaccination. You got to get a booster shot. You got to get this. I think these nurses and doctors just like sticking needles at people sometimes.
When you went through the Navy and you got your shots, when they vaccinated us, they didn't have needles. They had this big, looked like a paint can in the floor, and looked similar to a sprayer that you spray paint with. But it was under air pressure, and it just shot a stream of vaccine through your skin without the needle. But I don't recall ever getting a vaccination in the military with a needle. Well, maybe a couple of times. But when we did it, you just got in the line and you just, you know, took a step forward and they hit you in both arms. You move forward again, they hit you again. And but they were no, I still got scars on my arm where I flinched one time and it cut me a little bit.
They had those when I was in too. I didn't like them either. but when I first went in, they gave us I guess they went through four or five cases of needles and, you know, them big old boxes of them. They'd use one and then they'd throw it away. Use one and throw it away. And then later, the next time I, you know, started to go someplace, I had to go get some extra vaccinations, and they had the pneumatic shot guns, I called them. And they put them things, if they didn't get it right up against your skin and push down pretty hard, you're right, that thing would cut you. Of course, you know, that's a liquid under a lot of pressure, and it don't take much. It'll cut through all kinds of different stuff, and skin's is thin and soft.
Exactly. And I think the worst one I got was, I think it was smallpox. They didn't really stick you with a needle. They had this little thing that had four or five pins on it. And they dipped it in the vaccine, and then they kind of just scraped your skin with it. And that thing hurt. I just thought, when they gave it to me, there ain't nothing to this. Boy, I'm going to tell you, two or three days later, that thing was horrible. And then this big old scar popped up on your arm, big scab, and it took me about a week and a half to get over that. That was awful.
Well, I think they have sadistic type people that come up with the way to inject you with these things, and for that kind of immunization to, you know, to leave a scar like it did. It's I don't know. Just sign of the times, I guess, old Chad. That's the only way I can think to look at it. KI4DOS.
KO4NUE. Well, Gary, I enjoyed the cue so bud, but I'm on bed down, and I'll be your way tomorrow, I guess. But I'm starting to show my tire a little bit, so let me get on out of here. And please tell Miss Joy how it said we said hello, and Anna said hello. So I'll let you go. 73, and I'll be clear on your final, Gary.
You tell Miss Anna we said hello, and Joyce said, hollered in here and said hello. And she's sitting in the other room. Of course, you know where she's at from where I am. But she's been listening to our whole conversation, so it's all right. It's all on the up and up. See, I don't know what she said that time. Something about eating off the floor, right? Yep, something about that. She'll let you know about that tomorrow when you come by. Anyway, you go and get you some rest. Tell Miss Anna we said hello. We enjoyed it. I just heard you calling for Larry and thought I'd come back in and let you know what I heard, and let you go from there. But I've enjoyed it, and we don't get to sit down and talk as much as we'd like to sometimes. Talk to you later. 73 there, young man. KO4NUE, KI4DOS.
WD8RON, over.
8RON, KO4NUEA, Ed, how are you, sir?
They tried to check into the nets tonight and found out that I didn't have the offset set correctly, so could not get in. I've just about got my antenna finished. I've painted it tonight so it would blend in with the house. So wondering when you can get up here to see about making it work. Over.
Let's see. How about, stand by 1 second. WD8RON, KO4NUE. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? How about that?
Probably be best. If you want to bring your wife up, my wife, Pam, said she would fix lunch.
Contact with her. We care for her mother here on the farm. She's pretty much needs full-time care. I'll check with her and see what can arrange, but if not, then that's okay too. I'll just I can take care of it. But Saturday it is then.
Good, around noontime.
That sounds good to me. I'll give you a holler on the landline. I'll be out of the loop for the next couple of days, but I'll call you in the next day or so, and we'll get all the details worked out. How about that?
I've got my entry box all set to go, and I'm finishing up some of the other stuff, so hopefully it'll be all set to go. I'm going to send you a couple of pictures of the item, one unpainted and one painted. I painted it so it would blend in with the house.
Well, I can't wait to see it, bud. And we'll get it knocked out. Listen, I'll give you a holler in a day or so, and we'll catch up. How about that?
I was monitoring the input frequency a couple nights ago and a little bit for tonight. Sometimes I can pick you up. I still haven't heard any of the other stuff.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But you trust me, you will. You'll know it when you hear it. But when you do, drop down to that, drop down to the input and shoot me an email. Let me know what you can or can't hear. That'd be helpful.
I'm hoping this antenna lets me hit your repeater down there.
Sounds good, bud. WD8RON, KO4NUE. I'll be clear, sir. I'll give you a holler in a day or so. And I can't wait to see you on Friday. KO4NUE, 73 then. I'm clear.
WD8RON, securing station. Out.